Kaf Vav Amid Aleph at the top. Our Mishnah, the first half of our Mishnah, looked at the split in the laws of Temed pre-fermentation and post-fermentation in terms of whether I view it as wine as far as the laws of Maaser Sheni and as far as if it's put into a mikvah and it completes the volume of the mikvah, completes the 40 sa'a of the mikvah. But our standard in our Mishnah was fermentation, that pre-fermentation is water, post-fermentation is wine. And our problem with that is the Mishnah that we cited with the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, in which the defining factor seems to be volume, not fermentation. It's when you put in the water and the water is exposed to the grapes, you end up with a greater volume than you had initially introduced. So how do I understand this? How do I understand this? Who can I blame for our Mishnah? What we want to know is who can we blame for our Mishnah? We gave the first answer was Rav Nachman citing Rabbi Bar Ravua, and his answer was that everybody agrees that before fermentation, temed is water. Water that you pour over grape seeds is water. If it ferments, then we have something to discuss. But if it doesn't ferment, it was water, it is water, it'll be water. The machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in the Mishnah that we quoted was after fermentation, that there's still a view that even if it ferments, it's still water if the volume is the same as the water that you introduced. And that was the position of the Chachamim, was that you have to see an increase in volume as well. And Rabbi Yehuda disagreed and said that if it ferments, it's wine. So that was Rabbi Bar Avua's answer. The Gemara, though, extends that now. We're on the second line, end of the second line on Chavav Hamad Aleph 26a. Va'amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avua. Temed shelakcha bekesef meiser ulubesof hechmitz kana meiser. This is an interesting little discussion about time travel. In the event that you purchased temed inappropriately with meiser sheni money, the temed had not yet fermented, and therefore it's considered water. And then after some time it turns out it actually does ferment. Kana Meiser. At that point then, the Meiser Sheni money did legitimately purchase the Temed. And therefore, as Rashi notes, the practical application of that is that the money loses its Kedusha. In other words, if I use Meiser Sheni money inappropriately, I use it to buy straight water, then the money retains its status. The money is still Meiser Sheni money. It has to stay in Yerushalayim, has to be used to buy produce and all that. Has to be used to buy food. The statement he's making is, if in the end it ferments, then retroactively it turns out your purchase was okay. And now the Meiser Sheni money has lost its status. I don't know if this is truly retroactive. In other words, practical application. A person took that money and used it outside of Yerushalayim, between the time when I purchased the temed and the time when the temed actually fermented, did he break the law or not? In general, the Gemara in this discussion is not going to resolve that question of whether it's truly retroactive or not. But that's the idea. He says, in such a case, kana meiser in my time. Why? Because igloi milsa lemafreya the peirahu. Turns out you've now demonstrated that it actually was produce. That this was wine. That's the idea.
Rashi says like the wine is in the pit already.
Yeah, right.
Because there somewhere.
Yeah. The idea was that it was wine that was in the seeds, and the seeds then invested it in the water. The Elamas Dizen Dixani Hechmitz in Lo Hechmitz Lo Dilma Yishavki Avamachmitz. To which he says, well, in that case, our Mishnah should have taken that possibility into account. Right? Our Mishnah presented it as a binary option. Either it became temed effectively, either it fermented or it didn't ferment. But there was no option of maybe it will become chometz. I keep using the verb. Dilma yishav gavam achmetz. Had I left it, maybe indeed it would have fermented. As Rashi says, hechad alesei kaman, where it's not in front of us anymore, nasal basaruba. I should follow the majority of cases. Veruba machmitzin hein, and the assumption is that in most cases it actually will ferment. This sounds like a funny idea to me, except I never poured water over grape seeds. But what he's saying is that in the majority of cases, there will in fact be fermentation, and therefore you should say, you should allow for the fact that, even if right now it hasn't, eventually it will. Umidiksani e nikachu posel. From the fact that it says you can't purchase Meister Sheni money, I'm still in Rashi, you can't purchase this with Meister Sheni money, and also you said it will disqualify the mikvah. Tosva says just consider the latter, not the former. It's the issue of the mikvah that's really bothering us here. The we see from here that as long as it has not fermented, even though it will ultimately ferment, at that moment we don't consider it to be wine. And therefore it didn't work. Why didn't you allow for that possibility? If you really believe that when it eventually ferments, that legitimizes everything that came before, then you should have said so. So Amar Rabba, Rabba's answer is, Kishashirim menu bakos below hachmitz. Yeah, that's our case. Our case was where it didn't. In other words, I did. I kept for observation, I kept some of the temet, and it didn't ferment. Tosa says that, well, we only can be concerned about the disqualification of the mikvah, because of course you can't buy Meiser Sheni with, you can't buy produce with it, try to redeem the money on it, on this, you can't buy temet with Meiser Sheni money, on the assumption that, well, eventually it'll ferment. Even if Rove do, that's not an acceptable option. That's not what we're entertaining. What we're entertaining is the idea that it wouldn't disqualify the mikvah in the event where it fell in. It's not, you're not intending to do this. It simply happens.
You're not putting the grape seeds in also. So the water, how will it ferment if there's no more action?
Right, the only suggestion might be that fermentation could occur over time on a perceptible level. In other words, the process began, we didn't perceive it, and eventually it reaches a level where you can. I'm not enough of a chemist to know, you know, how that would work.
How long do you wait?
Sorry?
How long do you wait?
Right, so the answer is, if I'm dealing with the mikvah question, it's when someone goes to mikvah. That's when I have the problem. That you know, especially if I don't accept the retroactive idea. Right, as we had pointed out before, but that would be the answer. It's, you know, right now, what happened? Rava Omar. Rava gives you an entirely different approach.
The Mishnah doesn't work out so well because it says Achla Yichmitz.
Yeah, it's certainly not a clear. It's not so easy to work in. The Rava gives me a different approach. Again, our problem initially was that in our Mishnah, it was simply, did it ferment or did it not ferment? And that was my definition of wine or water, was dependent on fermentation. Whereas in this other Mishnah that we quote, the Machlokas of Yudin HaChamim, we float the idea that volume is what matters. So Rava Omar Hamani, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nurihi, he says, you know what? Our Mishnah that presented fermentation as the standard is actually within the view of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. This not, as the Mishnah says, Gimalugin Mayim Chaser Kurtuv, Shanafala Socha and Kurtuv Kurtuv Yayin. If you have 3 log of water that are not quite 3 log, okay, it's lacking a Kurtuv. A Kurtuv is 1/64 of a log. Very small, obviously, in ratio. So just about three log of water, shenafala sochan kortov yayin, and then a little bit of wine is added to complete 3 log. And 3 log, remember, is the magic shear, such that if you have a mikvah that's missing 3 log, and 3 log of psulin, of something that's disqualified, fall into the mikvah, it'll disqualify the mikvah. However, it's only if that is, as we said yesterday, only if that's water that's falling in. If it's wine that falls in, it will not disqualify it. So here I have 3 log and minus a little bit. That has now become 3 log because of wine that was added. Umarehen kemare yayin, but it looks like wine. The naflu lemikvah, and they fall into a mikvah that's missing 3 log. Lo pasluhu, they don't disqualify the mikvah. Okay, that's our opening case. Hang in there. Because it looks like wine, as far as we are concerned, it is wine. Gimelogin mayim chaser kurtuv, shenafal esochan kurtuv chalav. If, on the other hand, I have 3 log of water minus a kurtuv, and a little bit of milk falls in to complete the 3 log, umarehen kimarei mayim, but it looks like water, because the milk is of a lighter color. The benaflu the mikvah, and they fall into the mikvah. Lo pasluhu, they do not disqualify the mikvah. In other words, I am not concerned about appearances. Even though in this case it looks like water, since I know it isn't water, some fraction of it is, 1/192 of it is not water, I don't consider this to be water, and therefore the mikvah is is going to be kosher. Rabbi Yochanan
ben both. You need shear.
No.
And you need chazusa according to the Tanakhama. That's what Rashi says.
Right. Hang in there. So hang in there. Hang in there. What?
No, he's saying
it's not. He's saying if I went with color, then in the milk case, it would still be okay.
Yeah.
That's the idea. Hang in there. For God's sake. If I went with color, then I would say in the milk case, this is actually water, and it'll disqualify the mikvah. So I'm not going with color. On the other hand, it's true, as Muffel points out, we are concerned about shear. We're not throwing shear overboard. That's correct. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Omer, Hakol Holech Achar Amar. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, everything follows the appearance. And when we say appearance here, we're going to throw in taste in another couple of lines. Tosfos says, because otherwise you have a white wine problem. As we'll see. But Rabbi Yochanan says, everything goes with appearances, meaning if it looks like water, it's water. I don't care that some fraction of it may be milk. If it looks like wine, it's wine. And that's the idea. End of quote from that Mishnah. So lav om Rabbi Yochanan, meaning Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, basar chazusa az linan. Isn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri saying that I follow the appearance? Hachanami, so too in our discussion, zil basar chazusa. We are going to follow also the appearance of it. The time of a chazusa, the hai mayaninu. This tastes, that's the Tosfos I was referring you to. This tastes and looks like water. That's the end of the case of Temed that hasn't gone any further, right? If you take a look at Rashi, Vahachanami, it's in the medium lines in Rashi, about 10-12 lines down. Vahachanami, the Temed ad shelo hechmitz, the Temed that has not yet fermented. Ve'afa pisha asa lahachmitz, granted that it will eventually be machmitz. V'hashta peirahu hoa v'chazuse maya, even though it will become chametz and it will become wine, and therefore therefore I'll say it's not water. Nonetheless, its appearance is that of water. Pasil mikvah, it will disqualify the mikvah. Ve'eno nikach, and you couldn't purchase it with the money of Meister Sheni. So if I want to know why did our Mishnah fix on fermentation, we have another Mishnah that says we're concerned about volume. The answer is you're right, but we have the view of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says I care about what this thing looks like, what this thing tastes like, and as far as that is concerned, fermentation is the standard. That's the idea. I would love to go further in this Rashi, but we would never finish the daf. The Upliga de Rabbi Elazar, back in the Gemara. Yes.
We're going to have a pre-fermentation stage. It doesn't have a tom. Right?
Yeah.
Post-fermentation stage.
Well, I actually don't know that, but let's say.
Post-fermentation stage.
It will. Correct. Correct.
So isn't it the exact opposite of what we've been saying?
No, because that's exactly the point. I follow the way it tastes.
It's water, because it doesn't have a tom.
Correct.
So therefore, it's not good. Post-fermentation, it has a tom.
Yeah.
It's no good. It has a tom.
No, post-fermentation, it is good. That's the idea of saying I follow taste. That's what makes it wine. Yeah. Upliga de Rabbi Elazar. So this statement here, which I'm going to go with the explanation. There are a couple of different approaches to this line, but I'm going to go with the straightforward that it's Rav Nachman. Okay, Rav Nachman's statement that everybody agrees pre-fermentation that it's considered to be water is actually Pliga de Rabbi Elazar, disagrees with Rabbi Elazar. Da Amar Rabbi Elazar, because he said Hakol Modim Shein Mafrishin Olav Mimakom Acher Elam Kain Hechmetz. He has a separate statement that you wouldn't be allowed to separate Truma and Meiser from one batch of Temed on another batch of Temed, Elam Kein Hechmetz, unless it already has become wine, such that then, all right, then I'm able to do this. I'm able to tithe. The concern is that you may end up separating Truma and Meiser inappropriately. If I separate Truma and Meiser from something that requires separation, and others from Tevel, on something that does not require separation, then the result is that whatever I pulled out, it doesn't become Truman Meiser. It remains Tevel. Right? It doesn't become Truman. It doesn't become Meiser. On the other hand, the flip side, if I separate from something that doesn't require it, that doesn't require tithing on something that actually does, then what I've separated doesn't become Truman Meister because it was from something that didn't require it. It wasn't from Tevel in the first place. So therefore, you can't separate from one batch of Temed on another batch of Temed unless it has already fermented, in which case you know what it is. If it's already fermented, I know it's wine, and I know it's chayiv in Truman Meiser. So kasavar, that's the quote from Rabbi Elazar. So kasavar below hachmitz machlokes. He follows the view that pre-fermentation, it's actually that's where the machlokes is. Ve'adkan l'machayiv Rabbi Yehuda, elamineu bei. And Rabbi Yehuda will only say, separate Truman Meiser from itself, not from anything else. The Dilma Asi Lefrushe Menachiv Alapatu Menachiv Alapatur Menapatur Alachiv. The concern is you end up separating from the wrong one. So from the fact that Rabbi Elazar said within the view of Rabbi Yehuda that I don't separate from some other batch, I can only separate from itself, that tells me that Rabbi Yehuda believes that it's possible that it's chayiv in Truman Meiser, even pre-fermentation. So you can't tell me that everybody agrees it's water pre-fermentation. If everybody agreed it was water pre-fermentation, then why would we be having a conversation about separating Truman Meiser? The only way I can have a discussion about separating Truman Meiser before fermentation is if I believe it could be wine. So when you told me that everybody agrees pre-fermentation that it's water, that's not so. If it was, there would be no Truman Meiser discussion to have. That's the.
He argues. That's right. He argues.
That's correct. Well, Rav Nachman is against Rabbi Elazar.
Yeah.
That's correct. That's correct. Okay. Good. That was a headache and a half yesterday.
You gave us that.
Yes. I bless you with that headache. Okay, but the upshot for us is that we think we now have an approach to understanding our Mishnah, right? Remember the overarching picture here. What is my standard for Temed becoming wine? Is my standard volume, like that Mishnah that we quoted, or is it like our Mishnah said in terms of fermentation? Is that what did it? So the answer may be that it's actually about appearances. It's the view of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Appearances going along with the shear matel. We're not dropping the shear out of
Rashi,
it. No, but you're the one who pointed it out. The Kayona Digrisa. There may even be a possibility that pre-fermentation is going to be it's going to be considered wine. Okay, fine. Tana Rabbanan. We continue with Temed briefly, an issue of Tahara, purification of Temed. Ha Temed Achlo Hachmitz Mashiko B'mayim. Misha Hachmitz Ein Mashiko B'mayim. Let's say you have Temed that is Tameh, and how it became Tameh we're going to have to talk about. But if the Temed is Tameh and I want to purify it, I do Hashaka. Hashaka means I take the vessel that contains the Temed, I submerge it in water enough that the water that's in this receptacle, the Temed I should say, will merge with the water that's in the mikvah, not entirely merging, but one touches the other, and that is sufficient to be mitaharet. That's what I do with water. Yes, one kisses the other. That's correct. That's the idea of hashaka. So pre-fermentation, you can do that. Misha hechmitz, once it ferments, ein mashiko b'mayim, you don't have the option of doing hashaka. Rashi explains that this is not the same thing as tovelin. Okay? Food cannot be tovel. You can't tovel food in order to make it kosher. The reason hashaka works for water is that it's bittul. You're nullifying it in the larger quantity of water. He compares it to taking a seed that's tamei and planting it in the ground, and it loses its tumah as part of the ground. You're mevatel it there. So the idea here is that if this is still water, you can do hashaka, and it's nullified in the greater mikvah. If it's wine, then hashaka is not relevant because it's not nullified to the water in the mikvah. That's the idea. So Amar Rava, Lo Shanu Ela Shetimdo B'Mayim Tahorim V'Nitmeu Abal Tmei Meikara Lo. He says this idea that you have, that you could theoretically do hashaka if it hasn't fermented, only applies if the original water that was added to the grape seeds was tahor and then it became tamei. Abal Tmei Meikara Lo, but not if it was tamei to begin with. That's what he says without explaining why. So Rav Gavir Mibeik Seal comes along and says, I know what you're thinking and it's wrong. Azal Rav Gavir Mibeik Seal, Amr L'Shmaisa Kameh the Rav Ashi. Rav Gavir of this place, Bake Seal, goes to Rav Ashi and reports what he's learned, and he says, Maishna Temeyin Mei Kara Delo. Why should you tell me that Hashaka doesn't work if the original water was Tame? De Amrinan Aida de Maya Yakiri, Shachni Tatoi, Upera Kafi Milael, Veloka Sakilu Hashaka Lamaya? Is your logic that water is heavier than whatever liquid is coming out of the grape seeds? So the water sinks to the bottom. And the juice that you that you produced forms a layer on top. Well, literally, coffee is to float. The will float exactly. Will float on top of the water, and therefore the hashaka never hits the tame water. He says that's what you want to suggest. Brownian motion evidently was not a factor here. But if so, he says tahara mulavasov nitmi unami. The same thing will apply if it was tahara to begin with, and then it became Tame. You still have the issue that your water is sitting down below. So if that's really your logic, then it doesn't matter how it became Tame. The logic should apply always. Hashaka should never be good if there's a possibility that you have a film of grape stuff covering the top. Ella Mibalbali. The reason why you're not concerned there is because everything gets mixed up. Well, Hachanami Mibalbali. The same thing is going to be true in the event that the water was Tame to begin with. Whether the water was Tame to begin with or whether it received Tome afterwards is irrelevant. Either way. So therefore he rejects the view of Rava. Presumably because he's only introducing his own logical explanation and not bringing a source for it. And also we don't know that this is Rava's idea. We don't conclude with some sort of Tiyufta-ish comment. It's simply, this is my understanding of what Rava said, and this is my argument against it, predicated on my understanding. Okay. New Mishnah. The Mishnah now introduces us to Nara and Katana. Remember that we define Katana, generally speaking, as a girl who has not yet reached the age of 12, has not produced Shtei Saros. And then there's an intermediate stage of Nara, 12 to 12 and a half. And then after that, she becomes a Bogeres. So various rules change for a girl from the time she's a Katana to the time she's a Nara to the time she is a Bogeres. And we discuss two of them here. Number one, the rule of Mecher. The rule is that a father has the ability to sell his daughter essentially as an Amma HaEvriya. The she can become an Amma, a maid in a household, until she reaches maturity, at which point she goes free. There's a possibility of you and marrying the master's son, whatever. But that ability which the father has, basically in order to save her from poverty. If you look at the rules and the way it's done, it's essentially done because you want to save her from a household in which they can't support her. So he does this. He sells her off as an amma. His rights to do that end at a certain point. When does it end? Apparently when she's no longer a katana. So kol makom sheyesh mecher, as long as you have the ability to sell her, ein knas. There is no fine, there is no penalty in a case, rachmana litzlan, of onus or mefate. So the fine is paid specifically as the Torah words it when she is a na'ara. So as long as she is a katana, the father has the right to create avdus for her. But on the other hand, he doesn't get knas. This is just another of our bifurcations. We've had bifurcation after bifurcation. This is another one. If you look on your sheets that I gave out, at the bottom I give you a summary of all of the bifurcations we're going through here for quick chazara. The v'chol makom sheyesh knas, ein mecher. And wherever there is a knas, meaning once she is a nara, ein mecher, then you don't have the ability anymore to sell her as an amah ha'evriya. So am Rav Yehuda amar Rav, zu divrei Rabbi Meir, the Gemara says. Rav Yehuda says, citing Rav, you should know our Mishnah works only within the view of Rabbi Meir. Rashi gives you the quick introduction to Rabbi Meir. Da'amar Katana Ein La Knas. He said there is no such thing as Knas regarding a Katana. Aval Chachamim Orim Yesh La Knas La Katana. The Chachamim say even though the Torah says Nara in the Torah, don't you always wonder about the times when it says Nara and it drops the hay? Right, not the one by Rivka, but this one here where the Torah says Nara without a hay because it means even a katana. So knas, the penalty, the fine, will apply even in the case of a katana, according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir says no. So our Mishnah, which says the knas begins only for a Nara, zu divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the view of Rabbi Meir. Aval Chachamim amru yesh knas b'makom mecher, but the Chachamim say no. They say even the one who is a katana who can be sold also is able to, also has the knas defined. Disanya, as the Braisa says, Kitana mi baz yom echad achetavi beisaros yesh la mecha ve'en la knas. This is going to be the view of Rabbi Meir, that the Kitana, as long as she lives, from the time she's a day old until 2 years, at that point there is mecher and there's no knas. Mishatavi beisaros acheti bagir, from 12 to 12 and a half, yesh la knas ve'en la mecher. And Divrei Rabbi Meir, Shahei Rabbi Meir Omer, because Rabbi Meir used to say, "Kol makom sheish mecher ein knas, v'kol makom sheish knas ein mecher." The one applies, the other does not. That's our split. V'chachamim Omerim, the first of the wider lines. V'chachamim say, "Ketana mibas gimel shanim v'yomechad acheti bagar yesh la knas." The ketana has knas from the time that she's 3 in a day until bagras. Notice we didn't say from the time she's a day old, right? Because it has to be an active bia. It's not called an active bia if she's under the age of 3. But knas in mecher lo. The Gemara is bothered though. You said there is knas, but you dropped a discussion of mecher. Rabbi Meir mentioned mecher. Why didn't you? Do you believe that he can't sell her when she's a katana? No, ema av knas makom mecher. No, what we're saying is there is mecher and there is knas and there is mecher. Both of those apply. New Mishnah is still dealing with Kitana and with well, Kitana and Nara, as we will put it. The issue of Miyun and Chalitza. Remember Miyun, right? In the event that the brother or mother take a Yeselma and sell her before she, I'm sorry, they accept Kiddushin for her, not sell her. Bad idea. They accept Kiddushin on her behalf. She has the ability to opt out until she reaches adulthood, until she becomes an Ara. That's called miun, refusal. So as long as miun is a possibility, she's a minor in chalitza. Then she can't do chalitza because she's a minor, and chalitza requires das. It requires a certain degree of demonstrated understanding. So komakam sheish miun in chalitza. When she is a katana, miun is a possibility, chalitza is not. The komakam sheish chalitza, but once she can do chalitza, meaning she reaches adulthood, then ain miun, then miun is no longer an option. So Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir. Once again, that's only Rabbi Meir talking. Abu Chacham Omer Yesh Miyun B'Makom Chalitza. The Chacham disagree and say there is Miyun, even when you can do chalitza, meaning that as a nara, miyun is a possibility. Disanya, because the Braisa says, Ad Masai Abbas Mima'enes, how long can you do miyun? Ad Shetavis Jesaros Divrei Rabbi Meir. Like our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir says, until she reaches physical maturity, when she turns 12 roughly, the 2 hairs, that's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Sheyir Ba'ashachar Al Alavon. It's the point where there is more black than white, which the Mefarshim explain means that the hairs have extended enough that in Osama, there is dark, it is darker than it is light. Lavan is a reference to the skin. So it's darker than it is light there. So that's not at the age of 12. That's not when the 2 hairs first appear. That's already a little bit later on. Sorry?
If you have a miyun after 12,
yes.
The Nora, does have to leave the husband with the get?
So we require a get midrabanan. That's called a get miyun. But theoretically, no. Theoretically, no. Miyun means the whole thing is void. Yeah. New Mishnah. Chalmakum sheish tekiya ein havdala v'chalmakum sheish havdala ein tekiya. You remember the Gemara in Shabbos that they blew shofar 6 times on Erev Shabbos at different stages to warn people to stop their malacha, come in from the fields, close their shops, etc. So that blowing was actually tekiya trua tekiya each time. Rashi in Shabbos stresses that. The Shem Yishmuel quotes it also. So Sefta and Sukkah. It wasn't just 6 tekiya blasts, even though that's the language, but it was actually tekiah teru tekiah each time that you blew. So that's a normal Friday. He says, Kol makom sheyesh tekiah ein havdala. Anytime there is tekiah, according to Rashi, you're doing it not just on Friday, but also Erev Yom Tov. That's its own discussion. But as long as you're doing tekiah, then there is no havdala. V'chol makom sheyesh havdala in tekiah. And if you're doing havdala, you're not blowing shofar. What does that mean? The Mishnah walks you through it. Yom Tov Shechalios Be'erev Shabbos. Let's say Yom Tov is a Friday. Okay, so Yom Tov ends and Shabbos begins. Tokin V'lo Mavdilin. You do blow shofar in order to warn people that we're upgrading the Isser Malacha. Right? There are more things that you can't do. So therefore we do blow shofar. V'lo Mavdilin. But we don't do Havdalah, right? Havdalah is greater Kedusha to lesser Kedusha, so therefore we don't do Havdalah. Whereas, B'motzai Shabbos, after Shabbos is over, Mavdilin, we do Havdalah leading into Yom Tov, right? V'lo Tokin. But we will not blow shofar. Ketzed mavdilin. How exactly do you do Havdalah when it's Motzei Shabbos leading into Yom Tov? Hamado ben Kodesh leKodesh, which we're familiar with, that's what we do. Right? Whereas Rabbi Dosa Omer ben Kodesh Chamur leKodesh Hakal. He says, that's your wording. From stricter to lighter. And obviously you understand the concern and why we don't do this, because it causes people to be Mezalzel be Yom Tov. They won't take Yom Tov seriously once we label it in a bracha, Kodesh Kal. That's all you need. We don't do that. Rav Mordechai Aryeh Levi Horovitz has a beautiful comment on this. This idea, where there's no Havdalah, there's Tkia. Where there's Havdalah, there's no Tkia. He said some people need to wait, unfortunately, for Shofar before they do Tshuva, before they stop committing Chet. It takes until Shofar. So he says, if you have Havdalah, meaning like Havdalah mein Das, Havdalah mein Ayin, if you know how to distinguish between right and wrong, then ain't Tkia. Then you don't need the Shofar to make you do Tshuva. But some people, they don't have the ability to be Mavdil, and therefore they need Tkia. Yeah. Therefore they need the shofar to inspire tshuva.
Or Mordechai Levi Horovitz. They did Tkia of Moshe Shabbos too.
Yeah, Moshe Shabbos in general or leading into Yom Tov?
No.
Moshe in general, okay.
They should know when they can go back to work.
Interesting. Okay, thank you.
Work with
all right. I'm not so sure, but I didn't look at the Rambam, so I'd have to see it. Okay, Heichi Tokeya. So the Gemara asks, what exactly are you doing? When you say you're blowing shofar, Motzei Shabbos, Motzei Yom Tov leading into Shabbos, what are you doing to blow shofar? How do you blow shofar? So Amar Yehuda Tokeya Umaria Mitoch Tkia. He says you retain the Trua, but you do it from within the Tkia. Rashi explains what that means is you do still breathe in between. Remember, there's a discussion on Rosh Hashanah. When we blow shofar, we blow Shvarim Trua. Do you do Chad Nishim or Shtei Nishimos? Do you do it with a breath in between or not? And so our general minhag is to do some of them one way, some of them the other way. So he says here, Yutkia, breathe and pause for a moment, but then the true right away. You don't want a big pause in between. Ravasi Omar Tokeya Umaria Beneshima Achas. Ravasi says there is a pause, but there isn't even a breath in between. You're trying to go from one right into the other. It's almost like you're concealing the trua. I wonder if that's not. I wrote it into my Gemara at some point in the past. I don't know what I was thinking or where I got it from. But trua we do usually associate with war and sara, and we're masriyan. We blow trua in the event that there's a problem, and maybe we don't want to play that up when we're going from Yom Tov into Shabbos is not really the right time. But the Shemi Shmuel says that it's because blowing is normally about introducing an Neshama Yisera. And here, you already have something of an Neshama Yisera. He talks about Nefesh Yisera, Ruach Yisera, Neshama Yisera. You have some level of it already with Yom Tov. So therefore, I don't need as much blowing going into Shabbos. So therefore, I conceal it a little bit by absorbing it in the... I absorb the Trua in the Tekiah. I gave you the reference there if you want to look it up in footnote 6 on the sheet. But that's the idea, is that you don't go all out with this trua. Askin Ravasi, but Hutzal Kishmai say, Ravasi was confident enough in his approach that in Hutzal he told him, do it this way. So the Gemara challenges this idea and asks, Meisve, we learned, Yom Tov Shechalios Be'er Shabbos Token Velo Marian. We have a brisa that says that when Yom Tov, Tosefta, that says when Yom Tov is on Friday, Token Velo Marian, you blow Tkia and you don't do trua, and it sounds like you don't do trua at all. Right? That's what it sounds like. And if you look in the original Tosefta, the language is even stronger. I forget the exact language, but I looked it up yesterday. The Tosefta he's quoting really sounds like there's no trua at all. So my love, lo marian klal, doesn't that mean we don't blow trua at all? No. Rav Yehuda mitaritz tame, Rav Asi mitaritz latame. Each amara will take that to be saying what he said. Rav Yehuda mitaritz tame, lo marian bifnei atzma, let me talk tkia. Rav Yehuda says it means that we turn it into a tkia trua instead of it being tkia. Separate from trua. Well, there is a break. It's a momentary pause, though. Ravasi mitaritz latame lo marian b'shtei neshima zol neshima achas. It means one breath. Either way, though, I'll say that it was suiting my... If you look at the original language in the Tosefta, it's actually very hard to see it. The way the Tosefta is quoted in the Gemara, it's more understandable. Uvamotzai Shabbos. We talked about what you do for Havdalah after Shabbos. We said that after Shabbos you do Havdalah leading into Yom Tov. So we had two different views about what it is that you're saying. Hamalu Kodesh Lekodesh or Ben Kodesh Chomer Lekodesh Kal. But Hecha Amarla, where do you want to introduce this? Because we mentioned the Havdalah twice in the Bracha. Right? Once when we mentioned general separations, Right? In the beginning of the bracha, are you putting it over there? Or do you mean in the chasima, at the close of the bracha, and then you'll say, kodesh l'kodesh, or kodesh chamer l'kodesh kal, is that where you're introducing it? So Amar Rav Yehuda b'chasima sa. Rav Yehuda said, only add to the ending, not in the earlier ones, because the earlier ones are simply listing different havdalos that exist, different distinctions that exist in the universe, even if they don't apply right now. The v'chein Amar Rav Nachman b'chasima sa, and so Rav Nachman said, Rav Shesh, he said, no, even in the beginning, but the halacha does not follow him. We don't actually do that because it's just generic havdalos that are in the first part. Rabbi Dosa said, Rabbi Dosa, Rabbi Kodesh, Chamer Lekodesh, Akal. V'les El Chazak Avasei, we don't follow him, we just say, Ben Kodesh Lekodesh. Om Rabbi Zera, Yom Tov Shechalios Be'em Tza Shabbos, if Yom Tov occurs mid-week, Omer Hamavdu ben Kodesh Lachol uben Or Lachoshach ben Yisrael Amim ben Yom Hashvi'i L'Sheishes Yimei Maaseh. Even though this Havdalah that you're doing after Yom Tov is not ben Yom Hashvi'i L'Sheishes Yimei Maaseh, it's Tuesday, nonetheless, you mention that in general. My time or why? Because like we just said, Seder Havdalah is Humona. You're just mentioning Havdalahs that exist. It's not as though you're saying it's happening right now. Hadolah Chakol Shochin Yashakalach, opening line of the new parak, because you have to. Hashochet Echad Ba'of Ushtayim Be'behem Ashtidas of Sheira, if with the bird you shecht one of the trachea of the esophagus, and or with an animal you shecht both, Shchidas of Sheira, that already is kasher. The language seems to be Bidiyevet, which we know is strange, and the Gemara is going to have to tackle that.